The only social media app that doesn't tell you what the Chinese government wants you to hear. Or the FBI, either.
The coercive power of government.
Download the free Seville 1075 app.
Surveillance mics sold separately.
Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Joe Thomas in the morning. Thank you for letting us be of service to you. Come in this morning. You're going to notice that a lot of folks are still twitchy because they're getting inundated with narrative. This is the symptoms of post-traumatic spin syndrome as people continue to get the stories that the politicians are going to best profit from, and the docudrama. We're going to visit with Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation on the docudrama and why I seem to be, and I was checking on this, this is not some feeble attempt to start to learn how to blow my own horn more, because generally the horn blowers are the ones who are spending more time polishing their horn than actually making a good horn. Anyway, What do you think I was talking about? Never mind. 434-964-1075. You know the drill. But the back and forth on the documents, the classified documents, as I said with Pith yesterday, I think I have some classified documents in the stacks of paper on my desk here at WCHV. And there's a reasonable thought that I've been sent things that maybe I shouldn't have been sent from government officials who shouldn't have sent them to me so that I could report to you on the air and give transparency where perhaps being less than transparent was the core of their belief. And this has happened frequently. This is why Freedom of Information Act laws were brought to bear, and why Albemarle County wants to shorten the list of things you can ask for under Freedom of Information. Because it's a nuisance to them. It's a big problem that you want to know what they're doing. Why are you paying their... The hypocrisy is infuriating in some points. It doesn't even bear satire. When folks like the Albemarle Board of Supervisors asked Creed Eads and Sally Hudson to write laws that would restrict your ability to ask, hey, what were the discussions regarding, the rewriting of the rules governing pawn shops? Let's start with something fun. And if you ask, you're probably going to be told, you're a nuisance, leave us alone. If you ask, hey, who actually paid this settlement or that settlement? Was it your insurance, or did the actual plaintiffs, or did the county actually pay it? Was taxpayer money used? Why didn't you do it in public? You're a nuisance. You're a nuisance. King George III thought the American colonists were nuisances, too. But there I go again, being an insurrectionist. And my defense of all those who say, Joe, when you read those abuses and usurpations on the air, you sound like a seditionist, an insurrectional seditionist, or conjugate it any way you like. And I just go back to Martin Luther King Jr. Just live up to the words that you wrote down on paper and then classified and then sent home with some former government official to sit on his coffee table so he could show it off at cocktail parties saying, hey, look what I know. And unfortunately, for everyone who hasn't realized it yet, we haven't as a society, no matter where you are in your adult life, changed much from high school. The little cliques of mean boys and girls still, try to exclude the other kids or pick on other kids or bully. Just do me a favor. At some point today, just sit and ruminate on the life in your office or your enterprise or people in your neighborhood and realize how little we have changed from the people we were in high school. And the behaviors we indulged ourselves in high school, our cliquishness. Especially our cliquishness. So if you don't think people take classified documents home from their job to show off what they know, you don't realize how much that's exactly what we are. And just, oh, that sounds very high school. Yeah, it is. It's still very high school. But I say again, and I've said I've checked, I can't find too many other people who are making the deal that the problem with the Biden documents is not that he had them, although that is a problem. The problem is that the Department of Justice knew they had them before they raided Mar-a-Lago. Before CNN was called and said, you might want to have some camera crews outside of Mar-a-Lago because the FBI is going to raid President Trump's house. Which was before a lot of Senate and House of Representatives candidates that President Trump endorsed lost. Because for the several weeks intervening between the raid on Mar-a-Lago and the election, you were told what an absolute nincompoop former President Trump was, what an out-of-control ignoramus would just be so devil-may-care with these classified documents, putting America at great risk. You would never vote for anyone they endorse, would you? Just think about, amongst the other ruminations I ask you to take this morning, think about if Chuck Schumer is actually still the head of the Senate, if that narrative had been accompanied with, oh yeah, and we also found a bunch of stuff at former Vice President Joe Biden's offices.
Central Virginia's source for disinformation.
I would say we do take extra precautions.
And dead information.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
WCHV.
Thomas in the morning, 434-964-1075. Phone number, it's old school, it's original social media, and it was originally just there so you could interact with somebody. Maybe you were there doing some work and you just wanted to hear another voice. I've only called radio stations. You find this ironic. I've only done it twice, and both times I was working as a night porter in a restaurant alone in a shopping center devoid of other carbon life forms, and I just wanted to know there was another human being alive on the planet. And so I understand it. I get it. I've been on the other end of the phone at 434-964-1075. So why is the media ignoring this? The president is coming to Springfield later today to tout how many jobs he created by lifting the COVID-19 grudgingly and slowly and inartfully. But because eventually we were all going to just go back to work anyway because he couldn't keep paying our bills for us. And we continue the clock on how many years we've wasted in treatments of COVID-19. But he'll claim all these jobs that came back after the shutdown restrictions of Governor Whitesheets et al. Are jobs he created. Okay, you know, we spin what we spin. businesses create jobs. Why? Because they have customers to serve. If you don't have customers to serve, and we can get into the abstract of free market versus crony capitalist economies in a little while. But the narrative, the reason you're being sales pitched the national security issues of the documents is because they want it to continue to be, you know, something that they can charge Donald Trump with so that he can never run for president again. This is, again, so that you don't say, hey, any of those documents at the Biden Penn Center about his travel to Ukraine or China? There are some people asking that. But the bigger and more important question is, I don't personally believe Joe Biden is president of a country where he at least controls half of the Congress if this story isn't buried by the Department of Justice. So the Department of Justice knew damn well they had already collected a bunch of classified documents from a former vice president who had no authority to take them at all, any more than, who was the Clinton guy that stuffed them in his pants? And at this point, you know, the story you're being told is, oh, everyone takes classified documents home. Why, the Clinton administration, they used to stick them in their pants to make them, you know, more impressive to women. So they're out of one face downplaying the whole idea that you have classified documents at home. Why, look at the stacks of paper on Joe Thomas in the morning's desk. He's got classified documents in there, and I might. I actually might have classified documents in my office. Maybe not U.S. government classified documents, but I'm pretty sure I've been sent things I shouldn't have been sent by people who may or may not have had the authority to send them to me. But you'll have to depose me to find out. My lawyer's expensive. And it was all out of reportage. It was all to serve you. It wasn't to, oh, look what I know. It was to say, hey, by the way, look what we found out. So you're out of one face being told, oh, classified documents, no big deal. Everyone's got them. Then A, then what's the point of classifying them? But they don't want you asking the more important question, which is the Department of Justice influencing another election. While they insist that they would never open an investigation into anyone that might impact an election, when that seems to be all they do these days is start investigations so that the implication of the investigation is don't vote for that guy or don't vote for anyone he's endorsed. So I don't believe President Biden has a divided house. I don't believe Kevin McCarthy is over a closely divided House of Representatives with a slim margin. I believe the red wave was broken by a jetty created by this Department of Justice. Because all they had to do, and understand a nuance, and again, I might be nutty in this, but when the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago, a little portion of the story was, this is interesting, Marge, because the FBI had been working with the Trump administration and former President Trump, blah, 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 for months now on the documents. They had access. They were looking. There was, and then all of a sudden they raided the house. And the raid comes hard on the heels of the Penn Biden Center discovery, which at any point, Attorney General Merrick Garland could have come to the podium and said, well, to be fair, we also found a bunch of classified documents at the former vice president's offices, and we're looking into those as well. Because for the weeks that followed the Mar-a-Lago raid, the key thing was don't vote for so-and-so because they're endorsed by this lunatic who just takes home classified documents, putting the national security of the United States at risk. So how many U.S. senators? I mean, think about it a second. All Bill Bowling had to do was say, I don't think Ken Cuccinelli and his type of conservatism is right for Virginia. And a bunch of Virginia Republicans stayed out of the 2011 gubernatorial election, leaving us with Governor Terry McAuliffe and his administration of the wonders of our summer of discontent. What number of Republicans stayed out of the Nevada or Arizona or Michigan or Pennsylvania races because that was the last straw? Oh, my goodness. Well, I was going to vote for Oz, but this is just a bridge too far. How many voters in the, and maybe you're one of them, maybe you're in the 7th Congressional District, and I'm not asking you to call and confess on the air. I don't have the kind of pixelator that will disguise your voice so you can't identify who you are. But maybe you're sitting there in the 7th Congressional District thinking, gosh, I was going to vote for Yesley Vega, and then this document stuff came out, and I said, yeah, it's one too many things. I can't do it. And now we find out that it wasn't all that, and that there was even worse things, because at least President Trump, and remember, your humble reporter pointed this out, had declassified a lot of the documents that the FBI then raided, saying these are classified. And the issue was not whether or not he had classified documents, but that President Biden, on his first day in office, had rescinded President Trump's authority to declassify anything. But had you known the vice president, who never had the authority to declassify anything, had done the same things, would you have still voted for Yesley Vega? Maybe you would not have stayed home or hung cow. I think Congress takes a whole different look if it isn't because of this. And this is yet another incident. And I hope Jim Jordan and his committee gets into the bottom of how these people are doing this.
Everything you need to know, even before that New Year smell wears off. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joining us on the Newsmakers line to take a different angle on the docudrama, as I call it, from the Ed Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, and he's the legal fellow and manager of the Supreme Court and Appellate Advocacy Program there. He is Zach Smith. Zach, thank you for taking some time out to get into other aspects of this story that may not be getting some airtime. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
So a lot of folks are talking about the national security aspects of these classified documents that apparently I may have some in my office. Apparently everybody's got some of these classified documents. And I kid because at some point, okay, enough already. Because, Vice President Biden, Vice President Pence had it too. And it's becoming a little bit of nyan-nyan. You know, it's like 2 6-year-olds arguing over who gets to use the swing next. I've said my biggest problem right now is how many people didn't win House or Senate seats because the implication that Donald Trump had all these documents in Mar-a-Lago was a bridge too far for the voters in their districts, and they stayed home without knowing that President Biden had done the same thing as a vice president. Why is there such a glut? John Bolton was on TV over the weekend saying, the White House, almost every piece of paper, even the toilet paper, is classified in the White House. Why is so much classified? And doesn't that diminish what being a classified document even means?
Yeah, look, I think there is a lot of information that's classified going into and out of the White House. A lot of it appropriately classified, but John Bolton's point is well taken. And I think what many folks are starting to realize as a result of this kind of drip and drab of classified information, you know, being retained by public officials coming out, is that new processes and procedures need to be put in place going forward. But look, I think you hit the nail on the head. What really has started this whole brouhaha surrounding, you know, former officials retaining classified documents is the way that Donald Trump was treated at Mar-a-Lago. Look, you know, I think it, you know, whether he retained classified documents, whether he had the authority to do that, you know, that's something we heard a lot about in the news. But many on the left were very upset. They made a big deal out of it. They handled it in a way that, it, you know, these types of situations traditionally have not been handled in the past. And so I think that right now is why there is such a focus on these former officials retaining classified documents. And I think what troubled many people, appropriately so, was the seeming disparity in the way that those on the left have been treated in the past when they retained classified documents, and the way that Donald Trump was treated when he retained classified documents. And so then once it came out that Joe Biden had also retained classified documents from his time as vice president, from his time as senator, then I think it put many of those same people in a very difficult position. And that's why, in part, I suspect, we now have two special counsels out of the Justice Department investigating these situations.
But isn't the Justice Department the most complicit in this? Because if I follow the timeline correctly, so what always puzzled me about the Mar-a-Lago raid was up until the raid, the Trump post-president administration was working with the Department of Justice regarding the documents that were there, and people were going in and out looking at them and going through them. And then all of a sudden there was a raid, and it didn't make any sense why all of a sudden they had to have a raid when they had been getting in there anyway. And then I find out that just, you know, maybe not even days before the Biden documents were delivered to the Department of Justice. Now I start to wonder about the timeline. Did they have to have a raid to distract from the fact? And if they knew they already had documents from Vice President Biden, who he had, that he had taken home, that admission would have changed, I think, a lot of people's minds, because the caricaturization of Donald Trump was, well, he's just a loose cannon. He's just taking documents home for his own use, and he's hiding things. And I think a lot of it, you know, would have been diminished if you knew that Vice President Biden had done the same thing.
Well, I think there are a couple of important points to highlight here. You know, a lot of the questions surrounding Donald Trump's retention of those documents were factual questions. No one is disputing that while Donald Trump was president, he had the constitutional authority to declassify documents coming out of the executive branch of the federal government. And so the question was really a factual one. Did he, in fact, declassify those documents that he had taken with him to Mar-a-Lago? Joe Biden's documents came from his time as senator and vice president. The vice president and the senator does not have that same constitutional authority to unilaterally declassify all documents. Maybe he could declassify some, but certainly not to the same extent as the president could. So the factual questions are different. The other point you hit on is the Justice Department's role in this. Look, I think the raid on Mar-a-Lago, that was an unprecedented step in the history of our nation. It's never been done before, and I think that really troubled a lot of people, appropriately so. The other troubling thing I've seen is that now that these special counsels have been appointed, particularly to investigate Joe Biden's documents, you're seeing the White House using that as an excuse to stonewall legitimate questions by reporters, stonewall potential congressional investigations into these documents. And that's very troubling, and I don't think it's very appropriate in many instances. And so, you know, we've heard Republicans in Congress, they've pledged to make this part of their oversight agenda over the next year. And so I'm hoping the Biden administration, although I suspect they will, won't use this appointment of the special counsel as an excuse to try not to cooperate with those investigations, to try not to turn over relevant information, because I think it's important that we really understand what happened, what these documents were, and more importantly, you know, what kind of processes do we need to put in place to keep this type of thing from happening again in the future.
Zach Smith is on with us from the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Zach, on that subject, though, when you talk about these documents and, you know, whether they should or shouldn't be there, the Department of Justice itself and Jim Jordan's weaponization of the executive branch and the federal government, I think, is going to look into this. They always claim that they won't investigate anything lest it taints a political campaign or an election season. Yet it seems like the last three or four national election cycles, there's the Department of Justice doing something that swings the balance of these scales. And then we find out that, oh, if we had known the whole story, it might not have swung so far.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's very troubling. The politicization of the Justice Department, the FBI in particular, has been a repeat topic that we've been hearing about, you know, ad nauseum since the early days of the 2016 election. I think, again, that troubled many Americans. It should trouble Americans of all political parties, whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, because that's not the role of the Justice Department. The role of the Justice Department is to impartially enforce the laws in our country, to investigate crimes, to prosecute criminals, regardless of any partisan affiliation. Mm-hmm. And what's really ironic about this is, you know, Merrick Garland came into office pledging to be the most nonpartisan, the most bipartisan attorney general we've had in recent memory. If you go back and look at the track record of the Merrick Garland Justice Department, it quickly becomes clear that the Justice Department under his leadership has been one of the most partisan in recent memory. And that is not a good thing for us as a country. It's not a good thing for us as Americans. And so I'm hopeful that we will get some answers from this investigation from the House of Representatives.
All right. The easy question is last. So how does the American population get trust back? The poor black population doesn't trust the justice system. The white conservative or even black conservative communities don't trust the justice system. The women don't trust the justice system. The men don't trust the justice system. How does a country survive that? And how do we get that trust back, Zach?
Well, I don't think that's an easy task, but I think the answer is fairly straightforward. It's the Justice Department and those charged with enforcing our criminal laws need to stop playing politics. They need to stop treating people differently based on their race, based on their gender. You know, you're not supposed to anyway, based on our Constitution and laws as I read them, but yet we see that increasingly today. And so I think it's just get back to the nitty-gritty, the hard work of investigating crimes, prosecuting criminals, and holding people accountable regardless of partisan affiliation, regardless of race, gender, any of those other characteristics. And that would go a long way to restoring confidence in our system of justice.
Zach Smith, I meant that ironically when I said the easy one for last year. Yeah. Zach Smith from the Mies Center at heritage.org. You have a wonderful morning, and thank you for rescheduling, which you didn't know about, so that we had some time with you this morning. You have a great morning.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Joe Thomas in the morning at your service. 434-964-1075 is the phone number. Emails come into Joe at WCHV.com. And I want to tell you, I'm embarking on a new, because I'm not busy enough, because I don't do enough things. We're starting a podcast, an actual quote unquote proper one. So the Joe Thomas in the Morning Snooze Alarm Survivor podcast is simply just archived footage of this program, sometimes cobbled together under a theme, so that, you know, you don't have to bop through, oh, he changed subjects, did something else, somebody else called. So if there's a theme, you know, through several breaks, we put them all together in segments. So there is utility to it, and it is for the leisure class that wakes up, you know, crack of noon, and still wants to hear the message or third shift, whatever it may be. So they get the program, but we're starting a proper podcast. Something that's just only going to be online download. We'll get it out Spotify and all those places. And it's called Sightings. It's based on my work. I sit on the board of the Government Accountability and Oversight Group, and we're going to highlight, you know, the work of people fighting against, let's just call it, intransparency. Isn't that what Jonathan Gruber called it when discussing the development of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act? Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. I do distinctly remember him telling me that. And the hero of that organization is the guest of my first Sightings podcast, and his name is, of course, Chris Horner, best-selling author, Red Hot Lies, Power Grab, Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming, and all of this led him, this pursuit of the fraud that is global warming, the shell game, the money changing, led him to realize how intransparent the federal government is. And as much as these bureaucracies have police departments, they also behave even against the few regulations they have. We mentioned that they're not allowed to have TikTok on their phones anymore. Well, they're not supposed to be using Signal and WhatsApp to communicate with people any more than the former EPA administrator, gosh, 10 years ago, was emailing with Greenpeace over policy issues through her Gmail account. You're not supposed to do it. It is against the law. But in this day where we talk about documents and who's got the classified documents, and oh my God, I think Joe Thomas's stacks of paper on his office desk has classified documents in it. We have this classified document zeal. I asked Chris in this first episode of Sightings. It's not up online yet, but we'll tell you where you can download it soon. I asked him a question that I thought was particularly interesting. I watched John Bolton explain that pretty much every piece of paper in the White House, short of the toilet paper roll, is classified. Do we also have an overclassification problem that I've heard some of the talking heads behind the TV news desk talk about? Overclassification? Question mark. That you know, they're classifying everything, and then somebody like you or me as a citizen couldn't find it because, well, that's classified. It's similar to the way our friend Matt Hardin was trying to get some records out of a local county, and it was told that's a personnel matter. And you say, well, hold it, the personnel in question are being paid with our taxes. How is it? We're not allowed to see that. But you know, you understand they're creating like an invisibility shield on this by just saying, oh, that's classified. It was the lunch order. It's classified.
Right. And I believe I saw it on cable, so it's probably true. The White House menus are classified. I think that's the case. There's definitely an overclassification problem, and that's showing a little ankle at the real problem, which is, we'll just call it human nature. What is FOIA? FOIA says public records are, I hope you're seated, public. Unless they fall into one of nine enumerated exemptions. And the first, they're pretty obvious, classified information. And there are personnel file type information. That's abused. What it means is if there's something in there about a loathsome disease, okay, well, that gets redacted. Get out the marker. Yeah. But it's abused like mad. And I can't tell you, I must have a dozen lawsuits at the federal level where they abuse, well, that's B6 personnel type information, and they just toss it out there like Mardi Gras beads, but it's not. Here's the big one, and it's the trickle down from what you're seeing at this overclassification problem just because it's a lot easier that way. There's something called deliberative process, which is sort of bureaucratic privilege. You've got attorney-client, attorney-work product, and they fall into that too, but if you're in FOIA, they'll claim B5, and you're looking at papers just covered with stamps of, quote, B5. That says deliberative process, and that's supposed to mean anything. But as Matt and I both pointed out in a recent pleading, that is known as the because I don't want to exemption. It's the most abused, mm-hmm. And if they just think, what the heck? And I'll go back to an old favorite of yours and mine, the Richard Windsor case, mm-hmm. Where we found the Obama EPA administrator named Lisa Jackson using a name created from the street she lived on and her pet's name. Yes. And that was her false identity. It was an email in the name of Richard Windsor. You're not allowed to do that. It has to say who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just the beginning of the problems. But we had 120,000 either pages or documents, either way, let's just call it a lot, before the judge, that they were claiming, you guys can't see that, it's B5. And it's a game they play, yet another one. They're daring you to try to discern which, I mean, you end up doing a Monte Carlo, a random sample, when they just run a roller over everything to hide public information from the public, you are stuck with tools like a random sample for the judge to take a look and see if they're abusing it. They are. And it is so regular that they're testing to see if you'll sue. If you do sue, they're testing to see if they can so overly aggressively abuse it that you're in the dark, mm-hmm. they're not. The judge can see them if the judge agrees to, but then it's like, well, I'm obviously not going to look at 100,000 pages. Give me a random sample of 50. And this is all turning the intention of this law and all of these open records laws on their heads. It's a game they play. They treat them as withholding laws. Again, these are our records. This is our information. We deserve to know how these institutions that have tremendous power, that do end at the end of a gun,
mm-hmm.
How they're being used, how they came to be used this way, who they're being used that way with, and sadly, at whose request.
And you know, and it goes on. We talk at great length, and again, I'll let you know as soon as we have the channels and the distribution and all of the podcast sightings, government accountability and oversight. But these suits, and part of it is that they say, "Oh well, go ahead, sue," knowing full well that they have an entire cadre of attorneys, and you don't. And if you have one, it's costing you a lot of money. And this is why the Convention of States needs to break up this federal Heidi game. Now, understand, groups like the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors even want the currently existing FOIA laws to change so that they don't have to respond to, quote, nuisance lawsuits, nuisance FOIA filings. You, and I want this to be, you know, a campaign issue for all of these Board of Supervisors seats in Albemarle County. It should be, and if I was running, it would be. You have, by the implication of this request for changes in Virginia's FOIA laws so that the county no longer has to respond to nuisance FOIA requests, you, in the view of Albemarle County's government, and I dare them, double dare them, have the retiring assistant county executive call me, and I dare you to try to tell me the implication isn't that the citizens of Albemarle County are a nuisance.
Delivering all the news Central Virginia needs since 2001 without any price increase. Ever. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.